The following podcast may contain some no-no words, as well as ideas that may be offensive to some. Get over it.
A Weekly World 1-2-3.
It's never straight up and down.
It's never straight up and down. It's never straight up and down. It's never straight up and down. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Yeah. Well, I've been living in a wiggly world. Wiggly world. Well, I've been living in a wiggly world. Wiggly world. Well, I've been living in a wiggly world. Wiggly world. Well, I've been living in a wiggly world. Wiggly world. Well, I've been living in a wiggly world. Wiggly world. Well, I've been living in a wiggly world. Wiggly world. Well, I've been living in a wiggly world. Wiggly world. Well, I've been living in a wiggly world. Wiggly world.
A wiggly world, a wiggly world. I'm back. Where did I go? Nowhere. I've always been here. I'm still producing media like a media fiend. And no more so than right now, what I should be working on is this mountain of media, specifically video-related media. And I'm trying to chip away at it, this giant mountain, with a teaspoon, it seems. Metaphorically speaking, of course, I don't really have... Although I do have a mountain of videotapes and CEDs and laser discs and VCDs and CD plus Gs and CD videos. CD videos contained one DVD video track and then the rest audio tracks. I think they were called CD videos. Yeah. I have, what do I have? Rainmakers, that very popular band. And I have Angel. It was also part of the David Bowie collector's pack. Back when you could only import David Bowie albums because of RCA or somebody that owned them didn't want to release CDs at the time. They thought it was a technology that would, you know, never last, be a flash in the pan. And then they released some tracks that were sort of not quite the versions of the songs that you were used to hearing on the albums. Like there would be live versions or alternate takes and things like this. And they included Ashes to Ashes on one of these CD plus videos. So I do have all that sort of media, including DATs and mini discs and... vinyl. Yeah, definitely have that around. 78s, 45s, 33 and a thirds. And what else? What else do I got? Floppy disks and all types of floppies. And things! A yell! I even have books. Whoever heard of that? Books. So there is literally a mountain... of media here, but that's not the media I'm talking about. We had a marathon shoot last night for the Chikara business, and I have a lot of things in the pipeline, just getting ready to be plungered out of there, some Roto-Rooter action. I hope that you really dig it, some new things, and I released a bobble last night. I didn't even have time to edit that, and right now it is a bit overcast, but the grass is probably dry enough for me to cut at my mom's, still trying to take care of my mom's things there, and still actually moving things out of chicken coop. There's quite a bit left to just move out, at least half of the actual chicken coop, the back part there, not the living room. The living room's pretty much cleared out except for my giant entertainment center, which I cannot take out because it is completely glued and screwed together, and it's too large to fit out the door in by any way, you know, laying it down, standing it up diagonally. The only way I could get out of there is if I take my new battery powered circular saw and chop that up. When you get older, you're going to be shocked. If you're a youngster, if you're old, then forget it. But if you're a youngster, you know, like a teen or just hitting your early 20s, and you go to the store one day and an electric screwdriver excites you, you get excited about a tool, you know that you are aging at that point. But I've been waiting for this one pack to go on sale because my drill driver that I own right now is one of the first drill drivers that ever came out. Back then, when I purchased it, I was installing fire systems, home security systems, fire systems, and like medical type of alert things. So I needed a drill driver, and I bought the first one. Those first who makes those there? The the guys. I think they used to be featured at Sears. The Craftsman, and they make great regular tools, manual tools, if you will, but they're electronic tools, they're electric tools, as far as battery-powered, not so great. So this first one, I was trying to drill holes through our floor here to install my, speaker wires so they're not just running underneath the carpet and across bare wood floors and things like this. And it would, catch the floor on fire and barely make it out the other side. So I was talking to our electrician, and he had mentioned this pack they want to sell. It was really nice. It was a 4-pack. I don't remember the exact name of the company. I think it had something to do with being digital or electronic or something like this. It was a brand I never heard of. But you got a light, a flashlight. Very high power flashlight, a drill driver, a circular saw, and a jigsaw. And they're all battery powered. You got 2 battery packs and a charger, of course, and a carry bag. So this was quite exciting for me. And boy, I was able to drill right through the floor, no problems. And that's the type of things that happen when you get older. So got the drill driver, got this. Now I have a circular saw, and I'm like, what can I circular saw around here? Maybe this Chiz is going to come home one day, there's a giant hole in the middle of the floor. And then I'll install my fireman's pole to go from the attic to the basement. Giant fireman's pole. You know what? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have thought of that. That's sounding pretty good right now. That would be neat. If I put it through a closet, like on the main floor, then who's even going to know? Now I'm thinking too much. That's not good. But as you may have guessed, it's Free Ballin' Friday, and no more free ballin' than I am going to be today. And Free Ballin' Friday actually occurring on a Friday. So that's a plus right there. Continuity has caught up with me, and here I am. But I have tons of work to be done, a lot of editing, a lot of media to be released. And it's going to trickle out. You probably won't see it all at one time. But I think there's a few surprises up my sleeve. I can't really talk about anything right now because I don't know if anything's going to come to fruition yet. So, as they are released, hopefully you'll think, oh, this must be one of the things that Wigley was talking about. So that's good. Going places with certain things. Very pleased with We Talk Games. A lot of great things coming out of that project. I'm very happy about that. And I'll definitely be talking a little bit about our recent trip to Ottumwa, Iowa. Kyle and I from We Talk Games set out for Ottumwa. We drove. So, and basically what happened in Ottumwa was everyone that you might have seen in Chasing Ghosts, that movie that will never see the light of day and never come out, but you can probably find that in some sort of hurricane-ish water-based type of thing that happens on the internet, like one of these things that you get stuck in, like a torrent or something, a sinkhole, I'm not sure. Something like that, you might be able to find Chasing Ghosts. And, of course, King of Kong. So everyone that you saw in King of Kong, pretty much, I mean, not everyone, but the ones that could afford it. I don't know if they were put up by the International Video Game Hall of Fame Museum. I don't know if whatever. But if you go on my Facebook, too, facebook.com/wiggly.wiggly, you'll even see the great honor we, Kyle and I, both bestow our images are graven images. No, they're just photos, actually. Upon Twin Galaxy video game personality collector's cards. And we were supposed to be part of this hide and seek thing, find the video game dudes, but Walter Day's computer took a bump. mixing terminologies. It took what we like to call in the business, it made big toilet that morning, so he was not able to print our cards out, and consequently, he has printed them for the internet to enjoy. And I'll tell you what, Walter Day probably has more followers on Facebook than were in attendance for this Big Bang 2010. But anyway, you know, I don't regret any of it. It was we did it for a reason. We did it for Walter, number one, because he's probably the sweetest man in the whole world, I think, right now. He is really something, and if you see him on these programs, you will see what a sweetie he is, no doubt about it. Very big heart, very gracious, and oh my gosh, so much has happened since the last time I got on air. Of course, we moved into our house. I think the last Wiggly World I cut was from the chicken coop. So, and I said I didn't know when I was going to be able to get back on, and no truer words were spoken on this show, no doubt about that. So I'm in the new studio. Tons of things still need to happen. I'm in the new studio. There's a hell of a slapback. If I yell, it comes off the wall and then filters. And there's no effects on my voice or anything. But if you listen real close, you can hear that slapback occurring. And, you know, this is a little problematic with certain things, but in other places, it's actually desirable. And, you know, I'm going to make the best of it. I don't know how much music I'm going to get out in the very near future. I know I have to create one song in particular, but it might not be too bad. I just need to put there's just like the standing wave that happens, and I brought over my giant storage containers, all the things that I received as perks of being an IT administrator for a very large company that was repurchased by, you know, swallowed up by even bigger companies over the course of like 2 years. And when the new regime comes in, they say, you know, gut this entire space. These giant plastic storage bins. I can't imagine how much these must have cost that I store my media in. And, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars, no doubt about it. And they stack together. They're really neat. They're made out of very durable plastic that's formed in, like, double layers and stuff. And they all fit together like a big, giant jigsaw puzzle, and they're really neat. So I have all those set up, but they're still not absorbing the sounds. And due to the fact that we don't have any vents, we can't really get central air in here. You know, price... Not with, you know, the price would probably be exclusive as well, but we don't really have a venting system, so it's what do they call it, like forced air or something, and we have radiators for the heat, so it's air conditioners in every room, and not every room, but four air conditioners, old and new alike. One new one, all the other ones came with us, and of course I got one that was underpowered for that. It's powerful enough for this room. The problem is, volumetrically speaking, the ceilings are too high, so I wanted to go with the higher one. You know, it was like $50 extra, but my lovely wife said, oh yeah, what do you need to do the whole house and stuff like this, and I concurred, and now I regret that. But what are you going to do? And I can't have them on because it's a little too loud during the recording. So every now and then I might have to take a break and try to, you know, chill it up a little bit in here. But like I said, it normally takes like 2 hours to cool it off a bit. But things are progressing. Every day it becomes more and more ours. I've been making tons of trips to the old chicken coop every time I come home from work, just about every other day. I think I stop by there. I also take out my mom's garbage on Wednesdays as well. So that's neat. That's what's going on in that neck of the woods. A lot of other things we need to, you know, furnish our house. There's still a lot of things we can pick up. And that brings to mind the big thing that Chiz has entered in Sears. I got to get into those expenses if you don't mind. Chiz recorded this thing at our local Sears. I've known Larry since 1983 or 84, I think. That's when he began working at Kmart. I was working there at the time. Made a lot of great friends back at the old Kmart. Now, of course, Kmart purchased by Sears. And the quick Kmart I worked at, which still a lot of folks that used to work there are still there. And so consequently, went in there, talked to Larry. He's working in appliances. We picked up a dishwasher that was supposed to be included with our house. And Larry videotaped Chiz. Sears is having this 1 billion point giveaway. They're the Sears points. I know I've earned them. I still really don't know exactly. Oh, that reminds me. I got to activate my Best Buy card. Crap. All right. Got to get that out. Not forget about that. But yeah, they have these Sears points, and I really don't know what you're to do with them. But they're having this billion point giveaway. You make a video and you state your case, and then you give half of your 1 billion points to a charity of your choice. Well, it's not really of your choice. It's of Sears' choice. It's of your multiple choice. That's what it is. So Chiz chose St. Jude's Hospital, and the rest will go to us for our new home and the things that we may need in it. And you know, don't worry. I won't be buying, every video. Although that might be good for the We Talk Games if I buy every video game that comes out. Now, we're very practical people for what we do. I think we're very practical. I've learned to be incredibly frugal through my months of $200 a month incomes, yeah, in today's modern age yet. So, I've always said it. If anything good ever happened to me, well, number one, everyone that supported me along the way is going to go with me. And number two, I would be very frugal. And also, I can never be a billionaire because then I'm doing something wrong. I could never be, a 100 millionaire because then I would be doing something wrong. I don't think I could even be a 20 millionaire. And I don't know how this would all happen. I guess if I found $20 million in the street, if Paul McCartney's wallet dropped, then, he wouldn't even miss that. But I'm just saying that I would be doing something wrong if I had that much money. I wouldn't be. I couldn't consider myself a member of the human race if I had that much loot. So it's this billion point giveaway. And listen, we know number one compared to all the other entrants. Well, first of all, they're no fault of their own. Except, why didn't they say to somebody, this is a video camera. Why are you holding it sideways? So some of the people on these videos are sideways. Now you'll notice a link to Chizzy's video in the show notes. Now all you have to do is enter a valid email address. Now if you don't have a throwaway email address, what's wrong with you? It's 2010. Have a throwaway email address. But Sears is good. If they start sending you stuff, just say unsubscribe, and it's just that easy. They don't, they have a very high privacy policy plan. And I don't, Chiz's video I think has the most views. And not even a fraction of those views or votes, hardly any are votes. And, this is the same type of thing. Look at We Talk Games, Video Power Magazine, online social media networking site. How many people have Facebook? They don't even log into this damn thing. How many listeners do we have? I got 1% of those people, signing up on our media site. It's hard to get folks to do this. But I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, please. Vote for Chizzy on this thing. I have the link in the show notes. And you can vote once a day. I'm not asking you to do that, but if you do, you get a special no prize. Just send me your fake address, and I'll get that right out to you. But number one, we're not sideways, and we would have said to the camera person, you're holding a video camera sideways, you moron. You know, who do you think you are? Brian Eno, you know, releasing a video cassette back in the day to make my my 25-inch television's color run all over the tube like a set of magnet on top of it for a month. That's Brian Eno did release a video like that in the, I guess, late 80s, early 90s, where it was his ambient music. And it was like video of my favorite video was of the nude girl that was in all types of psychedelic colors. But you actually turn your, and she was moving in slow blur motion and stuff like this. But you actually turn your television sideways, and then that was the gimmick of that. So number one, we're not sideways. Number two, we know what the difference between a billion and a million, and we know that it's for Sears points. And we know that we give half to charity. If you watch some of these other folks, they're like, if I had $1 million, I'd quit my job. No, I wouldn't. Yeah, you're right, you wouldn't, because you don't have $1 million. No one's giving away $1 million. They're giving away 500 million points. Million, 100,000 million. Yeah, 500. Say, we know the difference between a billion and 500 million points you get, 500 million goes to the charity of your multiple choice. And that's how that works, as far as I know. Now, I don't know, maybe they'll change that. They will give you a billion, but they're not giving you a million. So far, Chiz has had 201 views and 26 votes, so about 10%. Yeah, 1 billion points, billions of ways to use them. And they have a big, giant video gallery. You don't even have to go into a Sears to have your video done, but that's an easy way to do it. You can also record the video yourself from the comfort of your own living space. Now, when they put Chizzy's up the first time, they said, congratulations, you're on the Sears! She was a 69-year-old lady the first time. It was bizarre. They, of course, you know, screwed something up. So she's given the points to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. That's a charity I donated money to in the past. I don't know how they manage their funds now. It's very – I think Danny Thomas had a lot to do with it. Now that girl, you know, Marlo Thomas – was the spokesperson for it. I don't know if she is anymore. So, you know, hey, if that girl's doing it, why shouldn't we all? The only thing that would be better than that girl, I think, would be the Flying Nun, perhaps. Hey, why do they call them nuns? Because that's their names. Listen, I got to turn on the air. I'm sorry. You know, just experience this episode. I don't even know if you can hear it. You know, who knows if it comes through. Just experience this episode as if it's some sort of audio tour. I can't think of what we used to call that in the podcasting world. But yeah, please vote for Chizzy. Share it out on your Twitter. Share it out on your Facebook. There's all that share business from the ad. This the same type of thing I use on my We Talk Games social media networking site. On the different articles that get written by our crew of article writers. Free Ball on Friday, I hope to talk a little bit about video games, talk about the trip a bit, talk about the wedding adventure of Baba Jam Jam that happened in Ocean City. I think I talked all about the house that I want to, unless some things pop into my mind. Want to talk about a little bit about some pro wrestling. You know, I need a few seconds of that, at least probably 1.3 minutes of that. And I know the difference between 1.3 minutes and 1.3 seconds. Also, definitely want to get into the apologetics excuses. And reason, not excuses, reason. Well, what's the difference between a reason and an excuse? There are reasons for believing that Jesus was a very unlikely hero. If Jesus was just purely a myth, he would not have been written that way. That's what some of these apologetic excuses are. And I think that's about it. I really just take a look at that and whatnot. Where to start? So with our house here, there's ivy growing up the side. I really have to take a video of that. In fact, better than a video, we are having an open house on September 18th. It's a Saturday, from 1 p.m. till 5 p.m. You're all invited. Yeah, 826 Northampton Street, Easton, PA. You really are all invited. 1 to 5 on Saturday the 18th. Don't stay after 5, because then I got to call the cops. But you're seriously all invited if you want to come by. Stop by and check it out. Now, the bar won't be done by then unless you know, that $1 billion contest ends like tomorrow and we win because we have 21 votes and everyone else has zero. Yeah, that's not going to happen. So the bar won't be done, but the rest of the house will be pretty close. I have a feeling we'll be able to slap things together, hopefully, by then. Chiz just got an emergency flight to Georgia she has to make for her work, and so she's leaving Sunday, coming back Monday right away. And then I know the 12th, I have to get ready for Mass Commentator's daughter is getting married. And we originally said the 4th was going to be open. That's not. It's going to be the 18th. I know I have Chikara coming up the end of this month. 27, 28, and 29 is going to be the Young Lions Cup. Oh, my gosh. So much. Interview Starcade. I think those have moved till the 22nd will be the next one for that. I still have to release a new We Talk Games this month and another bobble. None of these are in the can. So there's a lot to be done before the end of August. And, what a bad time. Because, number one, all I've been jonesing to do is try to play Little Big Planet on my PS3. I've had this game since Noel Malinowski graciously gave me this PS3 system and Little Big Planet and Planet Earth Blu-ray set last February. Two Februaries ago. Amazing, wow. And I am only like at 1% of that damn game, completion, the trophies and that. And I really, really, really want to play this title, and that's all I want to do. But I just have this mountain of media, and I have the need to talk to you today right now as well. Because I guess a new, Sackboy's coming out soon, November or something, and I think this is the first game I've pre-ordered since Chiz pre-ordered Beautiful Joe for the GameCube for me, whenever that came out. So, I got into that. I earn rewards for my, it's a Visa that's tied in with Amazon, and also cashed in my Fonzie piggy bank pennies. I've mentioned this before. You go to these change exchangers, Coinstar. You go to that. If you choose a gift certificate, like for the iTunes store or Amazon or any type of online gimmick like that, if you choose a gift certificate, there's no fee for changing your coins out. So I always do that. I consider my change found money, since I'd probably just throw it in the street or get it lost down the toilet or something. I always lose my coins down the toilet. So I cash that in. And also, if you click through links in my show notes, or if I have them in there, especially on We Talk Games, and you purchase something from Amazon, or you just go to Wiggly's Mini Mall, that's right off my wigglysworld.org or wigglysworld.com. I have a Wiggly's Mini Mall. You can buy your things through there. My prices are right on par with Amazon's, because it's actually just a Amazon store. And, just clicking through on there gives me pennies, pennies on your purchase. And then I get a gift certificate from Amazon, and then I can put it towards trying to make We Talk We Talk Games, a better show, as well as a Hello Kitty toaster. And you see these Cylon toasters, the Battlestar Galactica? I just said, you should get a Cylon toaster. I said, okay. You know, I thought, oh, maybe they dropped in price from $65 when they came out. No, they're gone, number one. It's the most searched for thing on Universal site, or Sci-Fi Channel site, rather. And yet, they never made any more. They were made for last year's Sci-Fi or E3, you know, some type of convention. Oh, Comic-Con. They were made for last year's Comic-Con. And, you know, they sold for 65 bone. I saw one on eBay. Still had about 5 days to go and was already up to $250. So, yeah, you know what? I'll make a Cylon impression on my toast with a blowtorch or something. I love toasters. I used to have a collection. Now I only have really Zebula, and we have our thankfully we have our two our four slice toaster in the kitchen. But you can always do it a Hello Kitty toaster, especially up here. I have a little kitchen up here that I was going to put in a stove and a refrigerator, make it a kitchen up here. But I decided to turn that into a little gaming kitchen parlor. I mean, who doesn't have a picture of Darth Maul lacquered onto their kitchen sink shelf? I mean, it's pretty much a staple of every... what I did was, where the stove was, it had a vent over top of it. You know, one of these exhaust vents. So the stove's gone. I need to still try to find some type of television stand, like an older style one that has shelves that I could put a couple systems in there. And then on top of it, I have my old 27-inch tube television. And then that fits like right under the vent. So the vent comes in one of these metal vents that you see on Courtship of Eddie's Father or something like that. Family Affair and all those gimmicks. And then above this vent area thing, there's cabinet, metal cabinet that's part of this vent that you can open up. So you open the metal cabinet, and instead of the vent working anymore, there's an original Xbox in there, and then the S-video cables and the power and all that go through the vent down into the television that's right under the vent. So, you know, it's kind of neat. There's game systems all over the place. I have this Nintendo Player's Choice gimmick here. I have a couple things from KB. One is a giant laser cut fiber optic rotating colored KB World of Nintendo sign that I'm sure someone would pay big bucks for if they could, you know, cart it away from here. It's quite heavy. It's gigantic. It's, well, it's almost 6 foot long and about 3 foot, two and three quarters, 3 foot high, something like that. And it's quite thick, and it does these alternating colors, KB World Nintendo. And I have this Player's Choice thing that was also there when I was a Nintendo rep. And this took a laser disc, took a television, and ran programs off of an actual Super Nintendo cartridge. So you get these laser discs in, and they were, you know, all Nintendo games. And each chapter on the laser disc would have a different game featured, like for the Super Nintendo, for the NES, and for the Game Boy. And as they would release new features and I don't know what, different types of things that worked better or who the hell knows what, you would receive an update for the operating system, which, like I said, was a Super Nintendo cartridge that you plugged into this Player's Choice display. And it's quite heavy. It's the second heaviest thing we moved in here, and we put it on the second floor. It's this giant metal thing that, you know, has to hold a television that doesn't fall on top of kids. So it's this huge metal giant monstrosity with lights all over the place and backlighting. And it says Nintendo Power and all this other stuff here. And so it would come with these things, and it would have new games featured and stuff like this. And then you also get these overlays, and you put these overlays in this tray that people would come up and touch and push the buttons of the games that they want to see. Like, NCAA basketball, look at what the... And we have Nintendo commercials and stuff like that, you know. NCAA pros have to say about the, this is the best sports game ever. You know, and little kids say, I love Nintendo. Nintendo's the best. I'm two. I'm a baby. But I did complete level 1-1 of Super Mario Brothers. And I'm only one. So there you go with that. Inside jokes. Outside, actually. Inside, outside. So I have this giant monstrosity, and I haven't had it working for at least like 18 years, I think. My first wife, when she left, thankfully, thank goodness, whew, that was a close one. Wow, if I... Huh, I hate to see who I'd be now if that... I'd probably be dead. I probably would have ceased to be quite a while ago. Because she was, certifiably insane. But so when she left, she took the Laserdisc player from there and the television from there. And, you know, that's fine. But, of course, to be controlled by this, Super Nintendo cartridge and the push button and the thing, it had to be a very special... Laserdisc player. It needed a DIN pin in the back that's used for, corporate displays and things like this when they had Laserdisc. They also had VHSs, VCRs that would do this, that would be able to loop through promotional tapes and stuff like this at, different displays. So, a while ago, when my Laser Active crapped out, and I still haven't been able to get a replacement for that because they're just asking way too much, far more than is reasonable for these, the Laser Actives. No one plays the Laser Active. I mean, they might show it to someone, but, you do it just more for collecting, and they're just overpriced. People should not be paying that much for it. So I haven't been able to replace that. But when I was looking for a replacement for it, I found, I think it was like $25 for this Laserdisc player that had the DIN connection in the back. I was like, yes. So I got that, but I still didn't have a television that could fit up there. And just sent out a call for 19-inch TVs. We got one. It's got wood panel on its side, but goes in there, and now I have a full, complete unit. So I'm very happy about that, and thanks for listening. So that's upstairs in my kitchen, and why wouldn't it be? And we can also play games on my kitchen. My kitchen also has the FM Towns 2 computer, which was like a very Macintosh-like, it was the monitor and a CD-ROM, first CD-ROM-based gaming system, and two floppy drives in this one unit. And then I have my, I also have my Vectrex system, and I've recently been trying to complete that thing too, because my Vectrex is actually quite broken. It was one that was just supposed to be for replacement parts. I had to sell my good one back when I needed to eat. So I've been looking at things for that, and oh my God, they're getting like $400 for a Vectrex system now. And if you want the 3D goggles, forget it. There's no way I would pay anywhere near $100 for these 3D goggles, and they're going for $107, $200, and whatnot, depending on what type of condition they're in. I'd love to have them, but Jesus, who can afford that for something that you just, look at once, show your friends, and that's about it? And really, I don't have any friends. You're my friends, and you all live far away, except for some people, like two, maybe, that listen to this show. So I think that's it for around the coop here. The coop, the mansion, the TD mansion. Now that's what we call it. It's really something. I'm a little scared about that it's going to cost to heat this joint, but I definitely need to try to put some work into insulation in the fall, and I think I'll have plenty of time to do that. But if you watch the video of the home, now it looks quite different. So fortunate in finding some... that's one thing I didn't talk about. Expenses. Wow. Found some furniture up in my mom's attic that was just buried and fits perfectly in our parlor, and it set the theme for that. But I just wanted to pick up some curtains for the parlor. Now, the parlor is staying sort of Victorian looking because of the two main furniture feature pieces. And, well, actually three that I inherited, so to speak. So I wanted to get some, like, blue curtains that would sort of be, you know, in that theme, Victorian type of theme. And I found them. We only needed four curtains. So we went to Penny's. Everyone told us that's where you get curtains. Went to Penny's, $35 curtains. I said, okay, well, you know, you got to get curtains. You can't have people, you know, in our neighborhood peeping in windows at even my modest television. Because then, you know, you probably won't have a TV. We're afraid to watch the television before we had curtains. And there's, like I said, there's only two windows, really. So four curtains, that was all we were going to need. $35 a piece. Well, that's not what you get. Because then you need the rods. And then you need the double rods. Because that's how these curtains work. Because you need one for the curtains and then one for the valance. And the valance, and then you need to buy the valances. And those were freaking more than the curtains. I only need two of those. But then you need the tie backs, and then you need the tie back rods. And then all of a sudden, it's $352. ten times more than the curtains. Yeah, one single curtain, rather. So that's what happened there. Ouch. But we had money saved aside that was going to be for, this type of thing. You know, unforeseen expenses, and also getting like this home warranty, home repair type of things. We wanted to have cash. What happened was, thankfully, as soon as Chiz moved in, a year before we found the house, Chiz moved in so we could save money. You know, I was paying the rent every month, and Chiz was saving up a lot of loot. And then her parents gave us $3,000, $4,000, something like that, towards our down payment, towards the house. We knew about that, what was going to happen. That's fantastic, because we wouldn't have been able to afford it without that. And what happened was, every month that I was paying $600 to live at the coop, when we were going to settle, my mom said, here, I've been saving this money. I've only taken out for these few things. My car insurance was on her name to save money. So she'd only been taken out for that and like one other thing, I think. And she gave me all that cash back because I always paid her in cash. So, wow. So that was what we put aside. That's what we used for these unforeseen expenses. Another one being we got a dining room table. That was the cheapest thing we ever got. And we got it from Sears, and it's gorgeous. It fits the countryside of the house perfectly. So got that. That was very inexpensive. I think that came out for well under $300, like $200 and some for a table. Four chairs and a bench for the other side. So, wow. And, you know, it's great. You know, it's not the Taj Mahal. It's not some type of marble table of sorts. It's just wood, and it's okay. But it looks great in there, and I'm very happy about that. But the dishwasher, there's another thing. Okay, so got the dishwasher on sale. It was like a $370 dishwasher. We were getting it for $280. When all was said and done, $600 and something. Hiya, buya. So it's a good thing we had that money laying around, because wow, that's a lot of money for a dishwasher. We could have got a dishwasher that blows you for that much. You know, it has a special wiener slot, a glory hole, if you will. And it sloshes your schlonger around. But what happened was, you know, like I said, that's how much the dishwasher costs. Not too much. I had to get it installed, because I'm not going to futz around with that. You know, who knows how many more thousands of dollars it would have cost to get the water-soaked hole out of the floor if I would have done it. Oh, you know what? I did see water in front of the refrigerator. I gotta check into that because it's under a warranty. Had to have it installed. When the installer got here, this house is full of faux fixtures and setups and things like that. There's a light in the one hallway up here that was always on. You couldn't turn it off. Always on. It had a turning knob at the base of it that was pushed inside the lamp, so that it looked like, the screw fell off. It's pushed in there, and you can't turn it now. So I was going to say I unscrewed the fixture from the wall, but Mr. the guy that you saw. We imitate him all the time because we find something new every day. Burp, by the way. Yeah, I know I was supposed to put screws in there, but I just nailed it in. So he nailed this light fixture to the wall, which is perfect for being able to, you know, fix electric behind there and fix this switch. So the turning switch. So I crowbarred it off the wall, and the switch falls out of the base of this thing. He had deliberately made it look like the turning knob just went in there, so the inspector would see it and wonder why it's on constantly, and say, "Oh, the switch fell in there, and you know, fish it out later, and then we'll be able to turn off the light." No, it was cut. It wasn't hooked up to anything, the switch, but it was put in there to look like it fell out. So you didn't know it was hardwired on all the time. And that's the type of thing that goes on all around here. There's this air conditioner in the front room. Well, instead of drilling a hole down to the basement or putting in an outlet, that's a three-prong grounded outlet for this air conditioner, the cord goes outside onto the porch. It goes out to the porch, runs down the wall of the porch, into the front porch, and then through a hole in the basement, and then plugs in to, you know, like a power strip that's plugged in the basement, and to a three-prong outlet that's set up by the washer and dryer. There's that. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that's all types of wacky. So as it turns out, he must have installed his own dishwasher. And the way he did this was cut out parts of his counter, under counter, you know, drawers and stuff. He might have had a battery-powered circular saw. I don't know. I can't tell you. But one thing he did not do was put any sort of wood around the area that had this broken dishwasher in. And if I didn't tell you this story before, when our inspector came through, this is why you should always pay for an inspector yourself, a private inspector to come to your house. He was going around, he said, "Does the dishwasher work?" And Mr. Previous Owner said, "Oh yeah, it'll work. So the inspector went to turn it on, and then Mr. Previous Owner said, I can't lie to you, it doesn't work." So we had to replace the dishwasher with the $650 one. So when he got here for his $100 install fee, or $150, and I said, you know, well, that's okay, because it'll be done by a professional, it'll be, you know, guaranteed, and like I said, won't be broken. And you know, there's more to installing a dishwasher than just hooking up the electric and hooking up the piping. You also have to, you know, drain the everything, and the what you calls, and the who's it, what's it, and making sure that, you know, nothing leaks and there's plumbing and all that. So when they got here, if you don't know, if you have an under-the-counter installed dishwasher, there's nothing on the sides of these or on the back. You may get the impression that there is, but there isn't. It's just like open. If you get an apartment one, like a portable or rollable, then of course it's enclosed on all sides. But these ones that go on your counter, there's nothing on the sides except insulation. And that's what it was. Under the sink, you could just stick your hand right into the dishwasher. You know, if you're a little kid crawling under there, and probably get a nice jolt or, I don't know what. It is enclosed. The water doesn't just come spritzing out or something under there, but you don't stick your hand in a blender or anything. But, you know, there's a lot of dangerous stuff in there, especially relating to electricity. So this was no good, and he had to come back, and he had to buy plywood and all its other to box this gimmick in. So that cost another $100. And then I got the warranty on this because, you know, this type of investment you want to get warranties on. And so anyway, it ended up with everything, tax and everything else, and warranties. I think it was like a 5-year warranty. It was like six plus. And I was like, oh my God, well, I hope you enjoy this dishwasher. Just, we've been washing our own dishes for I don't know how many years, but having a broken dishwasher under the counter bothered my lovely wife that I love. Now I think that's all with the house. Those are the two big expenses that happened. Now, Baba Jam Jam was supposed to come to Chiz in my reception for our wedding, but he, like, chopped his foot off with an axe. He is cutting wood, and he made a giant divot in his leg with an axe. It was quite horrific. So he couldn't make our wedding because that happened, I think, the morning of or the day before our reception. So his wedding and reception were going to be in Ocean City, and Chiz and I rented a hotel for a Sunday night in Ocean City, and then we're going to drive back Monday. I had work Monday. And Friday, the thing was on Sunday. Friday, I was out doing yard work. The house has, this decorative ivy. Some houses around here, some big, real mansions. And not that ours isn't real. It's definitely real. You definitely can sleep in it. And it has bathrooms that are connected to the house, which is just a humongous plus to our old living conditions. And it has that ivy growing up the side of the building. Well, I'm definitely going to take that all out. But I was cutting the grass, the front hill that we have here, which the previous owner would set up a lawn chair, strap a rope onto his gimmicked push mower. I say gimmick because he would take a shopping bag, tie it to the on throttle, because, you know, any newer mower, even older ones, have the bar that you hold so that if you let go of the mower, it cuts the engine and cuts the blades. He would, of course, wrap that with a shopping bag, plastic shopping bag, so that the thing wouldn't turn off if you let go. And then he'd tie it to a rope, and then he'd lower the rope down the hill because it's very hilly. Well, I tried to cut it the first time, and wow, I was slipping down that hill like crazy. So I bought cleats. So I was trying out my cleats. They work perfectly, and you can actually find vegan cleats, which is lovely, all man-made materials. So I was cutting that, and then I was pulling ivy off the tree that we have in our front yard. And evidently, there was poison ivy down in there. And now, I used to be able to, like, scrub myself with Schumach and everything else, drain the juice of these poisons and, take a lather up, take a bath in them, nothing. Evidently, these new strains of poison ivy are just murder. And I guess I got it a little bit, but I didn't know. But what had happened was I was tearing this vine off the tree, and this giant splinter of bark went flow right in my eye, right past my glasses into my eyeball. And, so it's fine. I blinked my eye, tried to get it out, and it would not come out. And it was big, and it hurt like the dickens. And I was like, great. This is going to splinter into my eyeball itself. And now I'm not going to be able to go to Baba Jam Jam's wedding. Like, he couldn't come to mine because I just got a splinter in my eyeball. So I was trying to get it out. I went inside, called Chiz, tried to, pick it out with a tweezer. And when I went inside, I was able to get it out. Woke up Sunday, when I was starting to, we were going to go to bed Saturday, and she said, "Oh, your eyes are puffy." I said, "Oh yeah, little puffy. That's weird. Maybe I don't know what. I got irritated from the splinter, or I don't know. You know, maybe it got punched. I don't know." So I woke up Sunday morning, and Chiz was like horrified. My eyeballs, especially my left eye, was almost swelled shut. So evidently I had poison on my fingers and didn't know it, and when I was trying to get that splinter out, it rubbed in my eye. Well, let me tell you, I had poison all over and under. It was on my balls and everything, because when the juice was on my hands, it must have permeated, because I was sweating like a freaking pig, and the juice must have gotten all over. Now, once it's on you, you can't like spread it to other parts of your body or anything like that. It has to happen like with the first one. But I was soaked. I'm a hairy, sweaty man, except, of course, on my head. And I was drenched, and it must have went through my shorts and went through everything, obviously. Because it was all over my body, except for my back. It wasn't on my back. It wasn't on my feet, but it was on my ankles and my legs and my knees and my calves and my nuts and my you-know-whatty and my, schlingding. I don't know about my butt. It might have been there. It was all over the place. So we tried to go to the emergency. They didn't take my insurance. It was a big rigmarole. I finally get in to see the doctor. Shoots me in the ass with the steroids. And by the way, this is Sunday morning. We're like an hour late to when we wanted to leave to get to the wedding. We're trying to get the steroids in me. Wait to see if they have any bad effect. I have to pick up my prescription for the prednisone. I have to pick up my prescription for... he told me to get... Benadryl to help me sleep. Didn't help at all. I did not sleep. All this other business. We have to drive to Ocean City and then go to the wedding. So all this is happening Sunday morning. We're getting it done. I get the ass shot. Made a couple jokes to the... nurse coming in. I said, "I hope that you have also some veterinary background. When you see my ass, it's going to, be like giving a shot to some type of shepherd or something." If I would have known I was going to get an ass shot, I was shaved. I went through all my jokes. Now I know what it feels like. Now I know what Hulk Hogan has been going through all these years, for 30 years. All the jokes afterwards, I'm ready to take on Lance Armstrong. I was good. I was running. I was on the ball with my giant, ugly mole man eyes. I also picked up sunglasses to wear at the wedding because I looked like the mole men. I had softballs on my eyes, but I could see. That was a good thing about it. And I could see my giant swelled up eyelids as well. So I got this ass shot, and it didn't hurt going in. Anytime you're ready, go ahead. She was already done. But wow, after it, ouch. It's like a cramp in my ass. And they do it high on your ass too. Just like all the videos you see of the pro wrestlers. And let me tell you, I was on steroids. It was great. I didn't need to eat. I didn't need to sleep. Who would have thought I would love steroids so much? It was amazing. I could do work. I was strong. I had a six pack. It was amazing. I never thought I would love steroids so much. If only your heart wouldn't explode. I think it's the perfect thing for every human to enjoy. I hear that, you break your arm, take steroids, it doesn't matter. It heals, knows where to go, and heals everything. And number one, the first thing I noticed was that my social anxieties at this wedding were completely gone. Now, I've been on Lamictal to try to help my anxiety disorder and my bipolar disorder. Manic depression. But I still suffer from social anxieties as well. And, I know I need to exercise more. I know that there's other tools I could utilize. I'm not doing all my little bits that I should. I'm also not banking entirely on the medication. I do, you know, mind exercises. I try to catch myself. I try to work on skills of different techniques and things like this. But there is more I could be doing. But this steroids cleared up my social anxiety. Like, it was amazing. I had a great time at the wedding. There's more that happened. It might have been also due to the fact that we were completely soaking wet. I'll get into that. And when I say we were soaking wet, we were wet to the bone. So, on a steroids, it's great. It's really happening. I need to talk to my doctor, see if there's anything like steroids. And of course, I don't want to be on steroids because they're incredibly detrimental to your health. Don't do them. You know, you may have to go into prednisone. Now, this isn't anabolic steroids, but you know, they're still not very good for you to be on for long amounts of time, and only go on them if prescribed by a doctor for a short term experience. Make sure they wean you off of them. You do like 5 for 2 days, 4 for 2 days, 3 for 2 days, 2 for 2days, 1 for 2days, like that. Wean off. But the shot was really good. The pills, not as good. The shot was just, you know, it was great. But definitely you don't want to do that because, honestly, I did not sleep for at least 2 days. And then even on the prednisone, my sleep was very difficult. And I refused to. I'm also on the sleeping pills. I haven't taken them since that incident happened, so I've been trying to get off of them myself. And I've also been splitting up my 150 milligrams of Lamictal. Two I take in the morning and one in the late afternoon. And that's been helping as well. So Baba Jam Jam's wedding was to take place outside on the beach. And we get there. We're on time. We don't have plenty of time, but we're doing pretty good. We get there and it's quite overcast. Quite overcast. Chiz, being the meteorologist that she is, said we shouldn't go out because I said, listen, we're sticking to the plan. We're sticking to the plan. Thankfully, we agreed to listen to me when I said we should try to pull closer. We got a very good parking space. If we would have parked way back down the road where we originally pulled over, things could have been a lot worse. So we begin walking down to the beach, and to get down to this beach, you have to take these hiking paths. Now, these hiking paths go through very thick brush, and most of the time, the brush is hitting you in the sides and the head, and you have to duck and things like this. That's the type of little pathway it is, but it's a sand path, so you can take off your shoes and you walk through there. And it's quite long. It's not a mile. It probably isn't even a half mile, but it's close. So we get all the way down to the beach, and this huge black and gray front is just moving in. I think it's moving away, because normally the weather goes inland from the ocean. That's what it does in my mind. Evidently not here. It moves towards the ocean. And it was really getting black, and Chiz was completely freaked out and frightened. Because, you know, you have the ocean on one side, and I don't know if you've ever seen the ocean. It's big! So you see nothing but ocean on one side, and that's awesomely frightening, and you know, you're just you have huge respect for the massiveness of this earth that we live on when you just see nothing but flat. And I'm sure many of our desert dwellers know that sensation in flat desert areas of the middle of our country, Southwest. And so it's coming in, and we're looking around. We don't see them anywhere, Becky and Karts. So we say, you know what, we better start walking back. And we get a few steps down the path, and the skies open up like a huge waterfall. So we start walking a bit more briskly. She's like, do you think we should stand here with the umbrella? No, we shouldn't. And then the lightning strikes occur. Ground strikes all around us. Chiz has never been in the middle of a thunderstorm. I had. I've been in the middle of quite a few of them, running around like a maniac in downtown Bethlehem with some of my buddies. And we would take off our... We'd strip down to the least amount of clothes you were legally allowed to wear, run through the streets of Bethlehem, the city, looking for big gutters full of water, drain spouts that were shooting out water like a water slide, and then we slide down them on the concrete, in the gutters, on the street, and we'd slide on our backs and bellies, and you could do this and not get hurt because there was so much water. Well, sometimes. There was a couple times when we got up and we had giant concrete brush burns all over our bodies. But we would do this and there would be lightning strikes happening all over the place. Well, it opened up and there was some umbrella annex and things like this. And no, we just got to run because it was I was completely soaked in the parts of me that were sticking out from under the umbrella. And the lightning was getting quite scary. So I said, just run. And we ran full speed. It was quite a sight because it was very dark. There were lightning strikes everywhere. We're running through thick brush with sand on it. Chizzy's footprints are kicking up so much sand. I put her in front of me to make sure that she didn't fall and I can be somewhat of, you know, a little bit of protection for her. And every place that she steps, you see the white of the sand underneath, the dry sand over top the drenched sand. So it was really, really something to see. You know, it looked like something out of a movie where you have that follow cam that's all shaky and people are running through a minefield and stuff like that. And she's like, I can't run anymore. I said, you were in the army. Just, it's army drill. Let's go. And a lot of stuff. And we made it to the car finally. Very scary. Ambulance, fire trucks and everything coming towards the beach. You know, who knows? Someone got hit or whatever. There, you know, no seconds between the flash and the sound. So, you know, it was a real experience, man. No doubt about it. She's scared out of her gourd, but I know she is very thankful for the experience. Didn't need to learn the hard way, actually, on that. And so we finally made it to her car, and we are head to toe soaked, not a dry area anywhere on our bodies. And no time to go back to the hotel because everyone's doing a mass exodus from the beach area. The roads of this little town to go back to where the reception was going to be to actually finish the ceremony. There's only, you know, a few roads you could go, and they were completely backed up for, 45 minutes, an hour. So there was no time to stop back at our hotel and get clean clothes. And there's no towels, there's not even a hand dryer at the event where, you know, you could turn those upside down and dry your hair off at least. So we were the only ones. The one bagpipe player, she was pretty, a little drenched, but not too much, just mostly in a hair area. But we sat through the entire thing completely drenched. And I got to tell you, like I said, I just had no inhibitions, not inhibitions, but my social anxiety was gone. And wow, I wish, you know, that can happen like at the Walmart and everything else like that. When I have to go there, but even that, I don't even think steroids can get you good for that. And the first thing I did as soon as I got injected was, of course, I texted Kyle and told him that the dogs were in the yard. Had to go there. So that was Ocean City, and that was my poison ivy steroid lightning bolt excursion. Speaking of video games, before I get into Tumwa. I mentioned a little bit before about the S video cable I use on the Xbox, the original Xbox. And I have to send out a call right now, a little bit of tech talk. Nobody cares about tech talk. Whoops. Poop, poop, be-doo. Yeah, Wiggly's Tech Talk. Now is the time. If you have some S video cables, put them in a lockbox, a fireproof safety deposit vault. Gather up all your S video cables, especially if you have specific ones developed for gaming systems. Like I have a Jaguar S video cable. I have one for a Super Nintendo, which also fits the GameCube and N64. Hold on to those S video cables. I have one for the Genesis. I have one for especially like the Jaguar. That's something. A lot of other systems that can take S video, you use just a regular S video cable. But even those cables, hold on to those, because in time, just even now, those cables are hard to find. I believe now, probably my Jaguar S video cable would probably get more on eBay than my Jaguar system. I don't have a doubt about that. I'm certain it would. But these S video cables will be to collectors like a gold mine, because S video cables are going to wear out. People are going to want to stay, true to their gaming content. The real uber geeks are going to want to stay pure to having a tube television around, things like that. Tube TVs are going to be hard to come by as well. But they're going to want to have tube televisions, and they're going to want to have their S video connections to these devices. So if that's the highest form of connectivity you could get out of whatever console we're talking about. Some of the newer ones now, even the PlayStation, the original Xbox, those all had composite cables as well. But the ones that preceded that, immediately preceded those, had S video connections, starting with the Super Nintendo. I think Super Nintendo. I'm almost sure the Genesis had it, but now I'm wondering. I know it had very similar cables to connect up the 32X, connect up the CD player and all this other business, but I think I have one. I'm going to have to go back through. But these things are going to be very valuable. So that's the extent of the tech talk today. I have a lot of your letters. I have a lot of, not a lot. I have a few of your letters. I have a lot of things I've printed. Things I've printed out that you attached in your letters. Topics I want to deal with, topics I want to touch on. I don't have time for that today. We're already over an hour, and I think I still have a bit the main, I have the main meat, if you will, of the podcast to get to here. Speaking of meat, speaking of games, boy, I'll tell you what. We've had some very positive, most positive response from our listeners and from the industry relating to episode 18 of We Talk Games, episode 18. If you never listened to We Talk Games, This might be one of the most perfect episodes ever, and in the beginning, very, very funny. Just listen to the opening bits, and I think you might really enjoy this. We've tried to keep it entertaining. And once again, our guests, very complimentary of our show. There's no reason for our guests on there to blow smoke up my butt and, extend compliments. It's not like you go to see a band and you say, hey, you guys are great. These developers can hang up the phone. They don't need to talk to me. They don't need to say, hey, before you go, this was the best interview I've ever done, especially for a podcast. And yet, these are the type of responses we're getting from even big names like Trip Hawkins and Trip Hawkins Entourage. So too with the other people, other folks we interview. Maybe some people don't get it, but I think that's personality-wise. But the majority of people, and when they really give, we had Team Meat on, Edmund McMillan and Tommy Refinis. Said it better on a show. So we had those two guys on from Team Meat. They made a new game coming out. Super Meat Boy! I can't wait for this title to come out. It's going to be really something special. A lot of hype about this title. And those guys made it easy for me to do an interview. It was very open, very relaxed. They had me going in the beginning there with their little bit. I did a bit. They did a bit. So that was really something. It made it quite easy to make a very entertaining interview. Quite interesting fellas, following their own, following their dreams, I guess you could say. Wow, really, really, really great stuff. So I'm very proud of that episode. Please, you know, give it a listen. A lot of neat things. And Stinky the Game Master has an idea prompted by our new house. So it's even relevant to our home. If you want to find out more about that, listen to what Stinky comes up with in the opening of the show there. Continuing on with the games and the We Talk games, Kyle and I decided to go to Ottumwa. All eyes are on Ottumwa. Big Bang 2010. I did a funnier bit on the show and a full bit for the Kyle's idea to do a monster truck commercial for the Big Bang 2010 International Video Game Hall of Fame Museum. We did that. You know, Walter Day sort of invited us out there. Not sort of, he did. And we took him up on that. A lot of different reasons we went to this. We've never really done anything for PR. I got to tell you, it's amazing how much... You know, I always talk about low numbers, and it's sad, and it's depressing, and numbers falling, and all over podcasting. Very stagnant. Not a lot of growth, not any turnover. That's kind of good to speak of. I mean, we go up, but it's very, very hard. It's like pulling teeth. There's so much out there, so much to do, so much of overstimulation. So you know, it's amazing that we even have what we have, given the fact that there's no publicity that goes along with it. So, you know, there was PR involved with the going there. If nothing else, this International Video Game Hall of Fame Museum piece, this Big Bang 2010 event, had worldwide press coverage. There was USA Today, Wall Street Journal, news, you know, televised news, all different types of... big news companies were there. Now, not your G4, not your gaming news, which, you know, that's really where you want to be. We Talk Games was there. E-Gamer was there, and of course, Hard for Gaming. You might be able to find them if you Google and go like the third or fourth page. But those guys didn't really talk to us. They thought they were running a show in the first introductions and then really just blew us off. So, you know... There you go, kids. Well, you're a kid, and you don't know. That's okay. You'll get there, kid. You'll get there. Hang in there, baby, as they say. As they also say, I only do 200 of anything. So we drove out to Ottumwa. What a sucky drive. On the way back, we stopped at Mystic Tees to drop off a plush head and also take a break. A lot to talk about here, but I'll save it for another time. I think the interesting... I know that there's some game-related things I have to talk about, but I already said them. Everybody at this event was either on Chasing Ghosts, Frag, or... And that's another video game-related movie. Or Fragged, I think. Or The Force King Kong. Now, I really recommend King of Kong. If you haven't seen King of Kong yet, what's wrong with you? It's definitely the sleeper hit of the decade. It's really a great movie on so many levels, especially the fact that it's pretty much true. You know, it's pretty, all these people you see in there, they're really not. I mean, they're acting as much as any of us act. You know, we're all posers or liars, as I told Maria Kanellis, who, of course. Probably not get that, but anyway, she was talking about knowing thyself and other Buddhist sentiments there, and I just said, you know, everyone is either a poser or a liar, and that, you know, that's honest to gosh truth. There's acting going on. When we speak of self, We can't. We can't speak of self without putting on an act of some sort. We could try to understand it, but, you know, like Zen Buddhism, once you try to explain it, it no longer exists. It goes away. You no longer have the words. So, you know, it is an act until it's not, I guess. So, I wasn't trying to be deep. I wasn't trying to be a dick. I wasn't trying to be any of that. It's just, it's sometimes very futile to try to correspond to people with a modicum of celebrity. Unless you're Stinky the Game Master, then it's quite funny. Let's see. So, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, publicity stunts, the International Video Game Hall of Fame. Right. You know what? Let me take a quick break here. Before I go any further, I remembered there was a bit to the wedding that I neglected to say. Well, we were running through the bush back there with the lightning crashing all about. There was a tree that fell over into the entire path. It took up the whole path, and we're like, oh, no, what do we do? So I was like, no problem, steroids! I Hulk, Incredible Hulk, the $6 million man, the thing right out of the way, and Chiz went under, and I jumped around, actually. And that was one thing. Now, the other thing was television, before we get back into the video games, television, number one, it's the retina of the mind's eye. I saw a commercial. Does Michael Jordan have a Hitler mustache? He's on the Hanes, and he's got, they shoot him from the side a little because they're like, Hitler mustache. But then he has the lip T right under it, and he's got the Hitler mustache into the lip T. It looks like you just have the line under your, it's like a permanent shadow, permanent nose shadow, the Hitler mustache into the lip T. What is that? I really saw that, didn't I? My goodness. First kid in play tried to bring back the Hitler mustache, now Michael Jordan. I just, it's really comes to something when you, I think I'm chilled enough. Really comes to something when you have to bust out the Hitler mustache. So we went to this this thing also for publicity, try to get in on that, you know, not ride coattails, but we never do anything to publicize what we do. And that's always how I've been, actually. I'm always too busy doing the thing to promote the thing, and I rely on you to help promote. Don't forget the 1 billion Sears points. And click the link and vote for Chizzy. You can also find it in the activity stream of my Facebook as well. So Walter Day's trying to make Ottumwa the video game capital of the world so that they have a Hall of Fame museum in there, and they showed sketches of what they imagine it to be with giant displays solely rotating around classic games and things like that. It's like Pac-Man and Space Invaders, and it has giant like diorama type of you know, cutouts of the characters from the video games and things like this. And a little history of it as well. And just as the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, just as the Baseball Hall of Fame, they want to make a video game Hall of Fame. Now, the problem here is that, like I mentioned, this is pretty much just competitive gamers. They haven't really had any backing that I've seen from game developers. Now, Namco was in attendance because they did a birthday party for Namco where they collected up birthday cards from different places around the United States and even around the world, I think. But they were small, targeted schools. Like, I don't know how the call went out, but it was a relatively small amount of schools that participated in this and other sorts of organizations, I believe. But they had a real nice little spread of Pac-Man games, even Pac Baby, which is a great one, Baby Pac-Man, Baby Pac, which was, of course, a combination of a mini pinball table and then an upper screen where you go through the maze. a vertical monitor. So we that was I think that was Kyle's first time playing it. I played it when it came out, and I've been a fan of it, although I'm also a little critical of how difficult the pinball table was. Now, their table seemed to not have that great of an incline. I didn't know that you could adjust the incline on that type of mini table. I know you can adjust the incline on a standard size pinball table, and that increases the difficulty or decreases it. But I guess you can tilt it a bit, or I might just be remembering it completely wrong. So it's either one of the two things there. But I also knew that the drive to and from Ottumwa, people ask, were you in Canada? Yeah, I want to say Ottumwa, Ontario, Canada. No, Ottumwa, Iowa. Yeah, a little. Where am I? Who am I? So the greatest thing about driving, something I knew that would come out of it would be the drive there and back, and Kyle and I could kick some things around and probably discuss our entire lives, because it was somewhere between a 16 and 20-hour drive. Especially the drive back was longer than the drive there, but that's because we went out of our way to go down south to Athens, Ohio, to see Mystic T and stay over the night, and then we did the second leg of our journey Sunday. And Sunday's trip was full of events as well. We actually went further down south than I thought we'd do. We went through West Virginia just for a few miles and then back up into PA. But we came up Pennsylvania sort of like in Harrisburg area instead of the Pittsburgh area. And then after we got home, I got home at 6 p.m., I thought, we're making great time. I know Kyle has another 2-hour drive to get up to Long Island from then. But 6 p.m., I was like, yes, this is awesome. Well, 6 p.m. is when I arrived home. I unloaded. Was sort of in a weird mood when I saw Chizzy and like a little child. All I want to do is throw my arms around her and be happy. But like there's some load in my diaper or something that was all bad. I understood it right away, and I explained it and apologized immediately because I knew what I was doing, but sort of couldn't help it. I know in advance, I can't. Oops, my mic. That's what happens when you talk with your hands. Like I can't wait to see her, and I know. I'm like getting grumpy and whammo. But once that was taken care of, we got a call from Kyle. We're just getting ready to go drop the car back off at the airport. I got a call from Kyle that he broke down right across the border in Jersey. So I wanted to get him one of these cigarette lighter, one chance ignition turner deals. They used to be these little orange batteries, and you stick them in your cigarette lighter. You wait like 30 seconds, and then you turn it over, and you only get like one chance to make it happen. I did two of those already. They used to be $20, which is about the same price as getting a AAA to come out. So why even do it? But it's quick and it's zan and whammo and good. Well, I went to two places, that sell auto parts. They evidently don't make these anymore. Maybe they do, and reputable places just don't sell them because they don't understand how they can work. At least that's what the clerk said. I don't know how they work anyway. Well, it gives you one chance to turn it over. Now, it might burn out your ignition switch and your other electrical wiring. I don't know. I doubt it. I don't think it can do that. It's only a 12-volt battery. But evidently they don't make those anymore, so then we drove down there to give them a jump, and there's something about, I don't know anything about cars, I'm sure our listeners can tell me why and what fors, but even though it's the same battery, it goes into different cars, the same amount of voltage, I should say. There's something about trying to charge a big truck with a little car that doesn't work so well. And after a while, it was getting charged. I was almost there. It didn't seem like any spark was happening, though. When you just go to ground out the last wire on the receiving end. Maybe that was it. Maybe I wasn't supposed to put it to his ground, maybe to my ground. Oops. Hey, that might have been it. Who knows? Anyway, it wasn't really doing so well. I think that's the same type of setup. Anyway, it didn't work. So that took a little bit of time. He got AAA. They came really quickly, so I was very happy for him because I know he had a long ride after that. And then we took the car back to the airport, dropped it off, blah, blah, blah. Had to fill it up, of course, first. Got back home. 9 o'clock, 3 hours had passed. It was after 9. I was like, oh my gosh. So that was that. But the trip back was really what prompted me to jump on here. And not really. I've been thinking of a lot of things since the last episode. Tons of things that I surely have forgotten. I'll try to write them down in the future as they come back to me. But definitely one thing that I noticed in Iowa, especially in Ohio for some reason, but tons in Iowa, leaving Iowa, the long drive through Iowa, nothing but long cornfields. Ohio, same way. A lot of cornfields along the road. When we took the one exit in Ohio to right at the border of, I think, West Virginia and Ohio. I just don't recall. Well, anyway, we were on the border of, oh, that's right. Yeah. We were on the border of Indiana and Ohio, and we were on the Indiana side. And number one, I think I might mention this somewhere else, I'm not sure. If you want to have a beauty contest, don't do it in Indiana, number one. So I guess we must have been on the border, and I guess the sweetheart in the IHOP must have been from Ohio, although I could be wrong. But she was all right. It was like taking a time machine back to the 90s, as Kyle twitted, because she looked like she came straight out of there. Like a lot of the ladies that wanted to go after the Hispanic men sort of had this type of look. And thankfully, I found out, 45-year-old man, I still got it. And Kyle was like, why is the waitress giggling and, like verklempt? And, well, no, that's not the right word. Why is she giggly? That's all I meant to say. Then she looked over me and she saw that I was, he saw that I was sort of giving her the hairy eyeballs. And she was all giggly every time she came back to now. She either thought that I had something going on, or she thought that Kyle and I were gay, and that was hilarious to her. But all the way out, she was giving that dotted line that comes out of your eyes right in my general direction. So that was nice. That was lovely. Yeah, I needed that. I am very insecure about myself. I guess I'm vain, even though that's not what it comes off as. Because I'm so insecure. But why do you get insecure? Do you get insecure because of vanity, right? I think so. I guess it's a different type of vanity. Now I'm having problems with my spit shield here, my windscreen blocker. Blue blockers. I'm on the road and I'm a rapper. I do my things with my blue crappers. But besides, and I love IHOP, and I haven't been to an IHOP in years. I think the last time I went to an IHOP, I was called Peckerwood and Woodywood. It was in Hollywood. Of all, there you go. Maybe they thought I like was related to Hollywood. It was in Hollywood, and there were some people sitting out on the stoop of an IHOP, and they called me Peckerwood and Woodywood and all these other type of racial slurs and things like that. And I said, you don't know me. You're not my baby daddy. And then, the reason I bring up the Indiana, the Iowa, the Ohio, is because along the roads, along the exit ramps, in fact, the exit ramp right by the IHOP, the tri-crucifies, giant crucifixes in three. Now, they're just crosses, actually. They're not, they don't have anyone dangling off of them. But giant white crosses, with the one in the center being the biggest, and then two on the sides flanking it. The tri-crucify, on the road, like where you would normally see vote for Finnegan or something like this, Josh Abercrombie for mayor. Instead, you get 150 foot, not like, 50 foot crosses. Whatever people like to do. I don't want to say that's disheartening to me. People are welcome to do whatever they want to do. But you have to really look at this and realize, well, this is exactly not what their doctrine, the people that are putting these giant crosses in their yards and in their farms and in the middle of a turnabout, this is not what the book says them for them to do. Pray in private, go in a closet, go behind closed doors, be modest in your prayers, that type of thing. So, it affects me on so many levels, not just on the level that I see no difference between religion and mythology. There's so much not any difference. I mean, the more you read, the more a sane person must say to themselves, well, this is all myth. Now, you can gain wisdom from myth, no doubt about that. But there's no way that if you really invest time into Judaism and Christianity and the Bible, or in the Quran, holy cripes, and all the letters that go along with that, the little what you call hadid, and that's not even right, or perhaps it is. The hadith, lexicons, that type of thing. I mean, if you read these, you cannot discern this completely from the outside. Giant floodlight vision going on instead of spotlight vision. You cannot discern this from other contemporary and older or newer types of religion, of mythologies, rather. There's just no difference. It reads just like it. And you must wonder, I must wonder, do these, is it just like The View? Is it like that one lady on The View? Nothing's older than Christianity. That was in the beginning. That Christianity was always there. Do they realize that, Islam is, of course, the newer religion Judaism, Christianity, and then Islam, the Muslim faith. That's how it goes. But do they realize that even the early parts of Judaism, the early parts of what we call the Old Testament in Christianity, do they realize that that has polytheistic underpinnings when it speaks of God and the council of God, we, it's plural, the Elohim, which is plural. Do they realize that that is polytheism in there? Do they realize that Judaism was predated by monotheistic religions, you know, by thousands and thousands of years. Zoroastrianism came before there, even an Egyptian influence from like 14th century BC had monotheistic worship and religiosity when Pharaoh Akhenaten came into power. Of course, the pharaohs were the gods as well. They were like synonymous. It's hard to pull the Egyptian kings from the Egyptian gods. You know, which came first? When did they rule? When did they reign? What is the mythology aspect of this? It took a while to sort that out. But that was a monotheistic religion, only one god. But later, when that kingship fell, then the practicers of the followers in Egypt decided, well, that must have been an omen, and we need to go back to our pantheon of gods. But definitely a pantheon of gods. Present in Judaism, and the earlier Pentateuch and things like this, no doubt about that. And of course, Judaism spawned Christianity and spawned the Islamic faith as well. And you have to wonder, you know, do these people that erect these giant structures know anything about their own beliefs? Do they ever question their beliefs? Do they understand the roots of their belief? And the answer is obviously no. They don't. They certainly don't practice the Sermon on the Mount. And they want to be proud. They want to, you know, show off their symbol that they think is their symbol. This cross symbol, which is also a very violent symbol. I mean, is it like putting a swastika on your front lawn? Well, yeah, it is. Separated from time, of course, we're quite removed from from Constantine. We're quite removed from the people that conquered under the sign of the cross. The other people that conquered under the sign of the cross. We're quite removed from the Inquisitions and the other areas that the cross was used as a symbol of conquest, a symbol of war. Many scholars, well, not many. I don't know that for sure. I know of at least one scholar that believes that and there has to be more, or he didn't just come up with it himself, that believes that conquering under the cross was the whole reason, the whole cross, and that was by Constantine, the whole reason that the cross became a symbol of Christianity. Constantine saw a cross in the sky, thought that was a vision, a harbinger that made him adopt the cross that he was going to conquer in under that symbol. Now, the symbol of the cross at that time, as far as I know, as far as I have studied, was not a symbol of Christianity, of course. Many of them adopted the symbol of fish, but I'm trying to think of the Pythagorean symbol of fish, which probably has its origin with the Pythagorean religion or sect or cult. But is any religion not a cult? I mean, you're asked to believe grandiose things with zero evidence. Is that a cult? Is it not a cult? Or do people honestly treat it like mythology? Okay, it's there, but they don't recognize it as mythology. They think it's okay, it's there. It doesn't really play a lot into my everyday life. But when things get tough or someone gets sick, then I say my prayers to God and I wish them blessings and, you know, peace be with you, God be with you, God bless you, and things like this. They're not really there unless we give them some meaning, give them some thought, give them some attention, and then it's like, oh yeah, I'm Christian. You know, I mean, there's all different types of levels, I'm sure. But when I see these giant structures, it is of course an affront. It's just shocking to me to just see these in the middle of nowhere. And as I mentioned, people could build whatever the hell they want on their land. I don't care. It was just a little odd. And we stopped at a Love's. We kept seeing these signs for Love's, 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 Love's. And I know Love's are diapers, right? L-U-V-S, but this was L-O-V-E-S. And it's a gas station. Yeah, a lot of trucker stop, has a little tchotchke area where you could go buy, you could buy netbooks, you could buy DVD watchers, you could buy gun buckles, I think, belt buckles. I don't know if they had guns on the walls. They may have. I don't recall. But, you know, they had all different types of things, you know, right by the jelly beans, and they had belt buckles and bandanas with the Confederate flag and things like this. And also a large area and collection of Jesus hip grunge t-shirts. It was like gangsta Jesus's. He died for you, and it had like hands reaching down and bloody crowns and things like this. It was bizarre. And if you think I could take a crap in that place, you're out of your mind. I was in my stall waiting for someone to kick down the door with a shotgun or something. You know, how they found out, I don't know. Definitely I did not feel comfortable in the Loves. I felt the opposite, the entire opposite of being welcomed into this joint. And you know what? That's right. That brings up another thing. I had my first experience. Chiz and I were running around like maniacs trying to get, you know, different things for the house and different things done and stuff that we needed to do and shopping and all this other business the one day. And she said, "I'm really hungry for Chick-fil-A." And she had warned me, she had told me that the Chick-fil-A she was in, she felt kind of weird because she ate inside the restaurant and it was all Christian music, all Christian inspirational, not like, "How great thou art, how great, you saw me crying in the chair." I started too high! You know, not like that, like, "Yeah, Jesus is the one, here he comes, coming down to chop off your head. He's got a sword, he's got a bow and arrow, he's riding a horse. It's the future." You know, that type of thing, trying to be hip with Jesus. But you know what, just remember what the Doobie Brothers always said. Jesus is just all right, that's all he is. He's all right, you know, that's about it. So she said that she was a little, felt a little uncomfortable. It was just weird to hear that. Well, it's a privately owned franchise, whatever. I don't know what it is. It's privately owned, so they could do whatever they want. So I said, "Listen, just go to it. Is there anything there for me to eat, like coleslaw or something? And, you know, there's some sides I could get there." And it was already a very hot day, and that's not making any excuses, but she wanted to go inside. Well, I went inside. Let me tell you, number one, the smell to me was not pleasant for me, not pleasant. And, you know, I don't want to be a drama queen or anything. I don't want to talk like, you know, I'm just making this up, or hoity-toity, or whatever. I don't eat meat. Look at me. I'm just saying that to me, it was really, really disgusting. And that's just honest. That smell was very powerful. Now, I've been in a McDonald's within the past 10 years, one, and that was because I had to buy this old man some coffee I knocked in a fountain, which was very hilarious because it was full coffee, and he took 16 sugars or something. Now, he took like 8 sugars in this little, you know, 8-ounce cup of coffee. But I had to go in one, and was like, I thought I was in a Fog Machine Kiss concert or something. It was so disgusting with this beef smoke. Just complete. I mean, it was you had to have a fan running in there because it was honestly like the fog rolling in, and that was gross. But this chicken place was amazingly stomach churning for me. I don't, you know, I can't explain it any other way. It's just very potent, very powerful. It was sort of like when I burn incense in my room with, you know, four incense burners and a giant brass chalice of, you know, powdered incense and stuff like that. That goes up like a like black powder at a Kiss concert. It's a big Kiss concert. So I went in there and I was like, oh boy, this is really bad. And then she ordered. I knew by the crowd that was there that there was really no way I was going to be able to stay in there. It was just too much. It was too overwhelming with everything. And Chiz had to go to the bathroom. And so there I am waiting in line for these, you know, this bag of bag of bones with chickens on them to be handed to me. Jeez. Why don't you just chop off your arm, stick it in a deep fryer, and eat that? That's yummy. There you go. You know, that's what it is like to me, all right, now, after 20 years or whatever. So, you know, I got that. Chiz came out. I said, you know, please, can we just go outside? The most disturbing thing to me wasn't even the smell. It wasn't even the clientele, which was... disturbing. I don't even want to get into it. But I think that the most disturbing part of the whole experience was how sweet everyone was in there. And just that combination of... now, if it was more disguised, if it was more subtle, like a restaurant, you know, this is beef, but it might as well just be some plastic, and you don't have to know about how it was slaughtered. You don't have to have blood splattered all over your white apron. You don't need to slip with your rubber boots on, you know, gallons of blood all over the floor and grizzle and cows waking up on a hook. You know, you don't have to be around that. It's very sterilized. It's just like a gloop machine that comes down, just like a young child not realizing that they're biting into Fido. You know, same type of thing going on with eating animals. Because we call it ham, and we call it steak, and we call it veal. We don't call it pounded baby cows being drugged behind a truck in a tiny cage that we overstuff, feed them food that they shouldn't be eating, and stick our hands inside of their hollowed-out stomach, one of their stomachs, you know, and reach in with a rubber glove and check out all the food that they've half-digested. You know, we don't have to do it. It's very sterile. It's very anonymous. It's all been renamed and cleaned up for your consumption of cannibalism and things like this. Now, I know the scientists from the pot capitals of the world have said that, plants think now. Hopefully I'll get into that on a future episode. But, you know... Just looking at it from my point of view, if I can eat something and then shit out its seed and that grows more of it, then that's part of its adaption. That's part of its expectation to be cut down and reseeded and grow again. You can't, you know, eat a fucking hot dog and then shit out, you know, take a shit and then a pig grows, piglets come out here and they wean off your shit. That doesn't happen as much as often as you would like. So anyway, I'm not going to get into that debacle, but I mean, let's face it. This is cutting chickens' heads off and then stripping off their feathers and then boiling and the cutting and the dissecting and the yikes. And all that stuff, that's not pleasant. It's not pleasant. It's very dirty. It's very gross. It's very gory. Worse than any horror movie, you know what I mean? It's some gory, gross stuff. And just to know, and so the waft of fragrance in this joint, the thick coating of chickens boiled in grease... and then these smiling faces. Boy, if you don't feel like you're in the middle of one of these made-up satanic cult stories that, you know, paranoid people and crazy, insane people and people that buy into that type of thing without any investigation. You feel like you're in one of these movies that show these Satan worshipers. I mean, everyone's friendly. Everyone's nice. It's like a cult. I mean, they're over-friendly, over-helpful. Let me help you carry your tray and all this. And here they are, you know, serving up these dissected creatures that are, you know, as big as a cat. They're not very smart. They can be trained and things like this, but they have very short memories, it seems. You know, they're kind of dumb. They eat their own shit and stuff like that. So, well, we do too, but just it's gone through a couple processes first. You know, they get asphyxiated to a chalk line on a macadam road and things like this. So, but still, you know, it's like these piles and buckets of bloody, but which are not there. But just because of the permeated air, and I'm going to stop talking about this now. You get the picture. It was just disturbing. So he went out of the parking lot. I sulked like a 3-year-old child. And then I finally gave in because I didn't have my silver, I didn't have my plastic forkery. And I felt that perhaps my wife should offer to, what is this, marital therapy going on here? I felt that she should have gone in there and offered just to get it for me instead of being as hungry as she was and eating. Because I certainly could not go back in there. I just, you know, my noodle just wasn't up to it. I felt like I would have ended up punching that guy in a cow suit. There was that was another thing. There was a guy in a cow suit with a fireperson's outfit on, firefighter's outfit on. And I would say it was like holy cow, but it wasn't at all because that's the thing. When you walk in there, there's this giant poster of this cow with a fireman's outfit on, but it's a very realistic looking cow. If it's a suit, they should be in Hollywood. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, that was my foray into there. I don't know how I got there from here. Oh, yeah, talking about the Christian movement and the Christian chicken eateries. But there was also a lot of billboards. Tons of billboards. I mean, I have the billboards here that are bad, and I get shocked by them when I see them here, and I get pissed off because, let's face it, you can only fit so much on a billboard. I got to chill off again. Sorry. You can only fit so much on a billboard, so I don't really hold it against them that they want to try to get their message apart. They want to get their message across. Jeez, I'm losing it. It's getting late. It's getting long. Oh, my God. Chiz is going to be home soon. I meant, oh, my gosh, by the way. You know, so I understand, but they're always, you know, because it's not even half the story. It's like, it's always something in there that, and of course, you want to pull the parts that, you know, show you in the best light. You know, you don't want to put up things that say stone your child for cursing at you, Jesus, and you won't have anybody. So, of course, they want to show things that have a good side, but it's always something that it has more things against that saying than it does for it, like choose life or life is precious. Not choose life. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. It says, you know, about the children being precious. Every child is precious or something. And somehow that's supposed to relate to a blastocene or a fetus or any, you know, other pre-fetus stage of that experience, of that process. But there was billboard said life is precious, and it showed this you know, like 5-year-old girl with giant chubby cheeks and fake or real blue eyes, it doesn't matter, curly blonde hair melting into the white background, blending into a white angel And it's like, Jesus, you know, life is precious. Well, fuck yeah, it is. But I mean, is that what abortion is about? Are we talking about 5-year-olds killing, murdering 5-year-olds? No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something else. The Bible is all full of killing, you know, 5-year-old chubby-cheeked little girls. You know what I mean? What the hell you think? Your things that you watch on television with Charlton Heston and the whole Exodus business and the whole thing with Pharaoh and slaying of the firstborn. I mean, Jesus, you sing these things if you're Hebrew. You sing these things at the table. Slaying of the firstborn, locusts. Killing livestock. And this is God doing this. God that could just as easily change Pharaoh's heart instead of hardening it so Pharaoh doesn't release his people. No matter what he does, you know, he's going to unleash all these plagues. God had hardened Pharaoh's heart so he wouldn't even change his mind, even although God rains all these plagues down here. Just fucking read your goddamn book. You know, it's as easy as that. It's as easy as that. And that's what's so frustrating about it. I don't mind if you have a dissenting view from mine on what constitutes the taking of a life. We can discuss that. We can be on an equal ground and discuss these ideas of that should be of concern to, you know, everybody, at least a passing concern, if not of utmost concern. And we can discuss morality, but we can't discuss morality if you're solely basing your morality on dogma. Unchanging bullshit. How the fuck can you think that is a good idea to be an all-powerful God, and instead of just making things right with your magic powers, you fucking kill people and babies? What do you think, that the slaying of the firstborn didn't happen to babies? Your firstborn, they got killed. Firstborn cat, not even, I mean, animals didn't do shit to Pharaoh's, to Moses's people, yet they got killed too. What do you think the flood did? It said, oh no, there's a baby in a crib. Go around. I'm a flood. I'm flooding the entire earth. Anything's possible for God. Well then just fix the people. But then that's not free will. Bullshit. You don't know what you don't know. If you have a closed set of capabilities that give you free will, but yet the choices that you make will not be, you know, not piss you off against what you know people will already do, then you take that set out of there and no one knows. It's often compared to how we see how most people without a dysfunctional brain see baby. Now, there's another thing. You know, people get Alzheimer's. Well, what's God doing there? Now, when you go to heaven, do you still have Alzheimer's? Huh? Do you still have, ass munch syndrome? Asperger's syndrome? I was confused. I was mixing Munchausen's syndrome by proxy with Asperger's syndrome. Ass munchers. Everybody have ass muncher syndrome? Yeah, can't help but munching asses when I get to heaven. You know what I mean? I mean, this is... I don't know why other people don't ask these questions. I certainly do. And I was a big proponent of Christianity. I mean, I loved it so much, that's why I began researching what I believe. What stops people from asking the next question? That's what I'd love to know. Is it just that they haven't gotten there yet? Well, I know a lot of people plenty older than me that haven't gotten there yet. Can you answer those questions and have it lead to a different outcome than I've reached? Of course. But I just don't understand how they don't ask those questions. I mean, right from the start, and we've talked about this plenty of times when we devoted more time to it. You know, just you start in Genesis and you're stepping in shit right away. It's over. It's over. Let us create man in our image. What number one, you're saying that there's more than one peoples there, more than one gods. It uses pluralities in the original Hebrew. So it's not like a misinterpretation or something when they brought it to Greek and then perhaps Latin and then English and other languages. So, you know, I just don't know how. I mean, would God have nipples and he has balls and he's got a dick and he's got a vagina, I guess, and he's got an asshole. He has to eat. We know he has to eat. We know that he doesn't have to, probably. He loves the smell of burnt flesh, of the burnt offerings. He likes to eat meat pies. It's one of his favorites. When he goes into a bar to, you know, kill Moses, he says, "How's the meat pies?" This stuff is not invisible. I've read it on the show. You can read along. When Tinkerbell rings her little bell like this, you know it's time to turn the page. I mean, it's in there. I didn't just make it up. Because I'd make up stuff that, you know, had more tit fucking and shit like that. All right, this episode's getting very vulgar. And I apologize, but I'm horny. I have too much on my plate. I'm having heart pains and my heart's so big from my 5 days of taking steroids, prednisone. All right. So that's enough ranting and raving about crosses and crucifies. But, you know, with the life is precious. I mean, what life do you value? The life is precious just falls apart. It falls apart on so many levels. Of course life is precious. That's why it's not called choose death. That's not why it's called pro-death. It's pro-life and it's pro-choice. You know, they chose the pro-choice very carefully because they thought about things and they realized that women can actually make moral decisions for themselves. But it falls apart because what life do you value? You know, what constitutes living? Not even dealing with pregnancy being a process, not a point. There's no point when you are pregnant. It's a process. It's a process. I felt like our former president. You know, he says the same word over and over again, as if that further clarifies the word. But, you know, it's a process. It happens over time. It's a series of events. It's not one single event. It's not one point where you could say, I'm pregnant. I mean, you eventually get to there where you are pregnant. But are you going to carry it to full term? Who the hell knows, you know? You don't have a baby until you have a baby and it comes out there. Is it more formed? Yes, but... You know, so many things can go awry over that process, and it's completely natural. You know, that's part of nature. That's how we have babies. That's why we don't have these eternal souls in our body. Because if we had eternal souls in our body, if we had ghosts and things like this, they would be eternal. They would last forever, and we wouldn't need these bodies. We wouldn't need to have women die in childbirth. You know, along the same global scale as it's almost always been. I mean, it's a lot better now, but it still happens. Women die in childbirth. Babies die in childbirth. The fetuses die along in this process, in this series of events. So, I mean, we can sit down and discuss, and we can make billboards that say, you know, when or what is life? Let's get together and talk about it. You know, I would love to see that. You know, I'd love to see that. But you have to think about all this money that is going into these tri-crucifies and these billboards and stuff like that. This is not cheap, advertising. It's not cheap to build these crucifixes. Are these the farmers that are getting government subsidies for growing corn and growing crops and burning crops and making giant stockpiles, mountain pyramids of corn and mountains of corns and Grand Tetons of corns and things like this? Well, then that's sponsoring religion, isn't it? No, it's not. I mean, you can do whatever you do with your funding, but that's just, you know, I guess that doesn't bother me. If I was getting subsidies from the government, I would definitely spend it on what I want to spend it on. But, I mean, we're not even dealing with that process. We're not even saying when or what is life. But what constitutes living? Or who or what is doing the living? Could you imagine a protester at an abortion clinic having a sign that says, what constitutes life? What constitutes living? Who or what is doing the living? Since there is no, and it continues on the back, since there is no point in pregnancy, and indeed it is a process and a series of events, of which multiple things can go awry at any point. Will the egg attach to the womb, and this type of things like this, and you never see that. You see, like, people taping their Betsy Wetsy dolls to a picture of, something that you might see in a Pepto-Bismol commercial or something. You know, it's like someone's liver with a baby in it, because they're so daft on biology. All life is precious. All killing is wrong. Support our troops. Kill the Muslim insurgents. You know, it's just... And that's a broad brush. I'm not trying to paint that. I am making... Yeah, pardon me, burps, by the way. I am making an observation of the larger majority of folks at protest abortion clinics and things like this. But let's why don't we shift gears to TNA, get into the Christian Wrestling Federation, and then we'll come back to a little bit of something I've really been thinking of. I mean, that was just a happening on a trip to and fro Iowa. But let's take a brief. I'm going to try to do this in a minute 13. We'll just talk a little bit about TNA. Then I want to sort of talk about something that I've been really mulling over in my mind, and that is the hero Christ, and how apologists will cling to reasoning that, you know, Christ would not have been crucified. That would have been looked down upon at that time by the Jewish communities, and that's not how a hero would be, and stuff like this. I really want to take a look at that, because that's what I am. That's what I was thinking about the most before I went on the trip. But TNA had a Hard Justice, Hardcore Justice. They normally have their yearly pay-per-view Hard Justice. They had Hardcore Justice, where they brought back a lot of the members of ECW, which they have to now call VC2, or I don't know what they call it, CV2 or something, because of legal reasons, WWE, of course, still owns the rights to ECW and all those images and all that footage and all that everything. But they had a lot of the talent that was on there and the free agents and whatnot. And I got to tell you, I really enjoyed seeing this. I enjoyed it a ton better than when Paul Heyman put on the ECW reunion. What did they call it? One night stand or whatever. And then two night stand happened. And then that was the end of that. And all I got to say about Hardcore Justice, if Cena wins, we riot. But one thing that was odd was that they ran a promo for the TNA Impact that was going to follow this pay-per-view event. And I'm not going to get too much into pay-per-view. I like it. I thought it worked very well. I thought everyone did a good job. There were some parts that maybe went on too long that didn't make a lot of sense. But a lot of neat surprises, a lot of fun. I'm crying out to Joey Styles. Definitely was, you know, definitely deserves it as an announcer, and it's nice to see someone that people just take for granted and would probably crap on, like yours truly, be recognized so much from the town as being as important as Joey Styles was. I mean, he wasn't as hated as Wiggly was by some internet kid goofballs, but he definitely wasn't as appreciated as you understand the important role he played to the talent, and I feel that way as well from people, you know, the talent in the know of what I have done for Chikara and that organization, being a part of that over these years. And that, you know, I completely appreciate that. And it was nice to see that come out on a pay-per-view. The other thing, and not having huge storylines running throughout, I thought that was really good. When Raven showed up on TNA, I was like, Jesus, they're using him the same way WWE did. He's not saying anything. He's just sulking in the back, and it's all poop, and it's lousy. He might as well not even be there. Because, I mean, he was ruined on WWE, and that's how TNA was using him. But then he became, you know, the second main event, really. And let me tell you that I have not seen Raven wrestle as good as that match was, and become that Raven since the last time he wrestled in an ECW ring, you know, and during the times of the original ECW when he wrestled against Tommy Dreamer. That was a wrestling match. It was a bloody as hell, but, I mean, that was the best I've ever seen Raven since when he was awesome back in ECW. I think the biggest disappointment ever was when Taz came to WWE. The mood's about to change. Yeah, well, it did change. It changed for Taz, and he no longer has a mood. It's awful. Taz was the biggest thing in ECW. He was undefeated forever. He was just unstoppable. And, you know, the champion, geez, and such an amazing athlete. When he came to WWE, and he was like nails too. He looked like a garage mechanic in his jumpsuit. I don't know what was anyone thinking. I mean, here comes the person that personified ECW, would never in a zillion years leave ECW, and you just piss it all away, WWE. You make that all go away. So I'm not going to talk about that too much, although I did, but what was odd was that they had a commercial for this whole effing show thing that they were going to show on Thursday, which turned out to be very good as well, where they said that they were going to turn it up a notch. They were going to show all pay-per-view style matches free on television. I think they delivered on that pretty well. The ending, which led into the premiere of, what was it, TNA Reaction. When they promoted it, they said that this was going to be all pay-per-view style matches, no interviews. Interesting. There usually are interviews on pay-per-views. It's something I've always complained about. Pay-per-views are where you wrap up storylines, not continue them and have to, you know, have talent on there cutting promos before they go out. You know, unless they're just going to say, it's going to end right now. You know, that's about it. But sometimes there's whole storyline, everything's going on during pay-per-view. Pay-per-view, we don't pay to watch commercials and promos. We pay to see these promos and storylines end it in the ring. That's why it costs us upwards of $50-$55, you know, per month. And then if you get both federations and the other things, the ROH and the Dragon Gate and the things and the this and the that, then you're talking about, you know, hundreds a month. So I thought that was weird, because now they sort of pooped on the fact that promos are a bad thing and you shouldn't have to sit through them. Especially on the heels of an ECW pay-per-view. Jesus, if you used to watch the original ECW, that was at least 50 to 60% promos and then, you know, two or three matches interspersed. But so they didn't have any interviews, but they did have some announcements, and Hulk Hogan was a big announcement. I had an announcement, and I just saying, trying to put the guy, this was really good. Well, no shit, we saw it. It was really good, so shut up. Who cares what you have to say? No, you don't have any cred anymore, pal. You did the country. You did freaking country western celebrity fat farm wrestling where you said people didn't sell good enough, and you got to put the other guy over and teach him to bump and stuff like that. So, of course, who are you kidding? And then you did that VH1. Jesus. So TNA Reaction turns out to be, I went way over 113. TNA Reaction turns out to be the TNA backstage variable focus field camera that I love when they do the backstage thing. So someone said, hey, I love that camera and that effect. Let's make it, turn that into a show. And then we'll make it like Unexplained Mysteries or Monster Quest or something. We'll have a narrator moving the storyline. Will they ever meet up again? Will this end wrestling forever? Will he, wipe the chicken blood off of his baseball bat? You know, this type of thing. Oh, all these other guys cut themselves open, some the hard way in the ring, yet Rob Van Dam gets to pour, the bucket from the movie Carrie on his chest and lay there after the fact, because we would never try to hit anyone with this 2x4 with nails sticking out of it. Although they might in Japan. I think there's laws against that in the States. But let's talk about something very important, and I think everyone can agree that is tattoos on wrestling. A lot of new tattoos you see going on. AJ Styles evidently has a seahorse tattoo or on his kidney, or I don't know, was it a bass clef? And then they zoom in a little bit. It's AJ, and then with some small writing underneath. It's AJ and some type of German cursive wacky style lettering. I think he uses on some of his merch. So, and speaking of the Icarus Bad Back Tattoo Club, Matt Morgan really needs to finish up his back vagina tattoo. Either that, or maybe get one of those Kali knife dildo things on his chest, and then he could be like more like Brock Lesnar. We'll forget about his ugly Icarus back. In fact, I think Icarus has his cheerleader more inked in now than old vagina back. Vagina dentata, I think it even has eyes. I'm not sure, but it definitely has a clitoris. Or as it's medically known as the tickle dangler. Is that what I call it? The tickle dingle. Tickle pickle. I can't remember what I called it. Dangling participle. I don't know. So in closing, let's talk a little bit about the apologetic excuse, reason, for why the Jesus story could not have been myth, could not have been made up. And the reasoning behind this is one of the branches of this is that the apostles would not have died for something that they knew was a lie or made up, which is incredibly silly because, you know, you could even look in the past 25 years and see this type of thing. Well, I don't know if Jim Jones was in the past 25, but it definitely was within our lifetimes, within our memory. The whole Jim Jones cult, we could look at the Heaven's Gate You know, okay, so, you know, well, and it also begs the question, you know, are these stories of these apostles, these saints dying for their beliefs and they never relinquished their beliefs, did they even exist at all? And is that why they died, or did they die because they told the people in power there not to have, they told their wives not to have sex with them anymore, even though they're married? You know, we don't know if these people even existed. We don't know how they died, where they died, when they died, who they died, why they died. We don't know any of that. So not only is that a problem, but it's also problematic just saying that people wouldn't die for a lie. We know that people do die and allow themselves to be killed and sacrificed for dipshit reasons, dumb reasons, things that they haven't really thought through. And, you know, if you're delusional, you got nothing, you know, nothing to lose, why not go out a martyr? Why not go out with some type of fame or what you might think might be fame? There's a lot more to look at in here as well. And that really plays into saying that Jesus was crucified, and that's incredibly disrespectful. That's incredibly embarrassing. It's an embarrassment for him to have died that way. It's shameful. It's a horrible, you know, prisoners were killed that way and things like this. And they would never have made a hero like that to worship. And that all plays into the fact that which Jesus are we talking about? So which apostles are we talking about? Which belief systems are we talking about? We're talking about the Christian religion. And I think on the show, I hope that it has come across as clear as anything else, that this is a multifaceted religion. It's taken from so many varying viewpoints on what Jesus was supposed to be, from so many different authors trying to write their best Christian stories and teachings. And, you know, two episodes ago, I had the honor of having Bob Price on, and we talked about Midrash a bit. He talked about it. I listened and asked questions. And just listen to the episode. We'll talk all about Midrash. So you have to realize that, you know, not only are there things that mimic, mirror, lift, plagiarize, completely plagiarize and bastardize things that have preceded it in Judaism, but we also have people coming at it from a more spiritual side, like the Pauline sect, which was, you know, more Hellenistic Greek, more that type of super being. We have people coming out invoking the name of Jesus, just saying Jesus as like a power word, can, which is, you know, it's a bit Eastern as well. And many different influences. We have the ones that paint Jesus as more of a Jewish prophet that just walked around. And this is really where the Council of Nicaea came into place. And something that I think when I talked about the Council of Nicaea initially, I was talking about that's who chose what books would be in the Bible. But actually, that was at Trent or one of the preceding councils, I believe, and preceding and proceeding, whatever you call afterwards. There were other councils that voted on what books would go into the Bible and make our Bible that we have now. And basically, I did talk about the Nicene Creed and that coming from the Council of Nicaea. That's when they voted on what was the nature of Jesus. Was he just a prophet or was he the Son of God? So that's what the Council of Nicaea decided by vote, okay? So, I mean, all you have to do is read history. You know what I mean? And your Savior, your salvation, you can only get there through Jesus. You're Kurt Cameron. That is another thing. I saw Kurt Cameron on television. I watched one of his shows, and he's like, what are you going to do when you die? Yeah, that's the most important question right now. What you're going to do when you die? Now, I'm not mocking him. That's what he said in the opening credit thing that they roll every time. And then they show Banana Man coming up in back of him with a, you know, a soft fade and a zoom, fade zoom. But he said, that's the most important question you should be asking yourself. What about when you die? What are you gonna do? Go to heaven with a harp and wings and shit and fly around and fucking worship the graces of God every single day for eternity? Good, crazy. I'd shoot myself with an angel bullet. I'd create some of the things in Japanese video games where angels can fire BFGs and things like that. I mean, I would literally commit angelic suicide if I had to be alive forever with someone like Kirk Cameron in Banana Man. And, you know, I mean, it would get old. I don't care how many infinite things you could do. You're going to live past infinity. You know what I mean? Eventually, that shit's going to get old. So, I saw the Kirk Cameron, and that just fed into this whole thing. You know, we don't know what Jesus we're talking about. So, there's so many Jesuses. There's such a mishmash, and that's where a lot of apologists get sidetracked. They come up with an excuse for why a certain thing was said, but they can't take it higher from there. They can't apply the floodlight. They have to apply the spotlight. And once we read some verses around what they can defend with what to them is a rational explanation, we're back in trouble again. We're back in the soup. We're back in the stew. Why did I just think of, you know, when you tell a lie, then you have to keep telling other lies to cover up for it. And it just gets, you know, it's so much to do to try to cover up that initial lie. And I got to wrap this up because I'm going really, really long. But it's wonderful to talk to you. It's wonderful that you allow me to be in your earballs. And I appreciate that. Thank you. But saying that he's an unlikely hero, why don't we go? I mean, we can talk about Moses. We could talk about things that this whole thing drew from. I mean, you had people ready to kill their sons. I mean, geez, you don't get worse than that. You have people that give the, you know, the high sign to go through the crowd and stab at the slain everyone, but keep the women for yourself, and you know, have your way with them, but kill the children and the men with knives. So that's Moses. So I mean, what do you mean? That's a good role model. You know, I always talk about Islam and Muhammad, of course, with his 4-year-old bride. You know what I mean? Come on now. Don't say you wouldn't say something for some people to believe in if they don't come off. But let's go to the number 4. Let's go to, you know, we're keeping in the big 4. So we have Christianity, we have Islam, and this is in no particular order. Judaism is actually kind of lower, I think. I think that's 4. And I think Buddhism is 3, isn't it? As far as world religious followers. Now, there's many, many flavors of Buddhism, as there is of Christianity. What is there, like 1,200, 1,300 flavors of Christianity? Now, how does that happen? One God. Get your shit together, God. But let's talk about Buddha, the Siddhartha Gautama Buddha, the one that should be referred to in Buddha as Buddha, not the Hindu Buddha, not the Chinese, you know, fat-bellied laughing gnome who was a Buddha, but he wasn't the Buddha. This is the skinny guy, the handsome guy, the guy with brains on the outside of his head and giant earlobes to hear you better with and see you better with his third eyes and things like this. That's the Buddha we're talking about. Now, this guy, number one, what are we talking? 563, you know, BC. So that's what we're looking at here. Was he a real person? Was he not a real person? Who knows? But he didn't go flying up to heaven with you know, his ass farting fire and his hands having water come out of him and things like this. Wonder Twin Powers activate, my conjoined twin. I'm getting silly. Okay, but let's talk about his life. He was supposedly from a rich family, very well-to-do. Then he decided to go live in the street. Oh, someone would never do that. If they were destined to be the king and then give it up to be a pauper, that would never happen. He had a wife. He had a baby. And as soon as he had a little baby, he ran away from his wife. He ran away from home, got on his horse, jumped over the wall, and was a deadbeat dad. Oh, they would never do that, to be a deadbeat dad. Yes, well, that's the story, my friends. Our great teacher would never have been a pauper, never been a beggar. And yet, that's what he did. When he left, he went out begging for alms and give alms to the poor. So, you know, these are the heroic stories. There's no hero that was without blemish. I mean, he wouldn't be a very good... How are you supposed to aspire to reach a better place? How are you supposed to aspire to be... better than you are, to better yourself, to grow as a person, if your heroes are already perfect and, you know, never got better themselves. Our heroes are reflections of ourselves, where we'd like to be. So to say that, you know, no one would make up something where the person looked bad, that's just not true whatsoever. It's just not true if you just examine mythology, examine history, examine stories, examine your cultic gods. I mean, these religions started out very small, very cult, very tribal religiosities. They weren't necessarily religions for the whole world to be a part of. You know, if you trace the origins, you know, especially of Judaism, this was a very, very tribal god. He was saying, don't have those other gods. Don't mingle with the people from that other town just over yonder, because their gods are going to make your people say, hey, I like their god. You know, he was a very jealous god. He was a very tribal, very... Not even a personal god, he was the basketball team and you were all supposed to cheer for him. You know, don't wear the jersey of another team. Cheer only for me. And I'm not even getting very deep. It's purely surface observations. I could get into it deeper, I'm sure, at a later time. But, I mean, even look at the heroes from the Old Testament. And we've talked about Samson, you know, just going on a complete berserk murdering spree with the jaw of an ass, killing what could be thousands. It depends on how you interpret what he said, but at least hundreds to thousands. And... you know, just going complete ape shit because he wanted to get with this one concubine that was already, you know, betrothed to someone else or whatever. And, you know, cut off his hair and then he gets crushed under a rock. Up until then, he was like a Superman. You couldn't hurt him. And, you know, that's... wow. Yeah, I mean, you know, he had weaknesses there. And I guess getting crushed to death... is a heroic way to die? I don't know. It's Jesus has all the trappings of a hero. In fact, I think in the movie The God Who Wasn't There, which you know you can debunk that parts of that as well. But there are a lot of good things said in there. I love all the people they have. I love the fact that they have on there people that are experts in folklore that study folklore and are, you know, quite adept at it, because that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about Sasquatch on a religious scale, but the same trappings, the same problems, the same logical pitfalls can be applied to something as goofy as Sasquatch, to religiosity and myth and folklore. So, you know, we have these heroes, these troubled heroes, even in the Old Testament. I mean, Jesus, we're, you know, this is based so much of Christianity and some takes on Jesus, of course, being the replacement for the Davidic king. He is the new David. He is a descendant of David. Why does he have to be a descendant of David? Well, to fit in with different different prophecies. So some authors of their Christian stories linked him with, showed his genealogy to David. Although that doesn't fit with him being to his mother being a virgin. How can you trace your father's birth line? Your father's God, right? Because God, you know, had relations with Mary. I know it sounds silly. The space guy coming down and, you know, screwing a lady from an era that knew that she was going to have to go get her junk checked out by the council, and then if she was had infidelity, then they would stone her. You know, that was a risky move there, God. Thanks a lot. Watch out. But you know, these David is the king, the big King David, the whole thing about, you know, someone to aspire to. Tons of skeletons in his closet. And plus, he's the guy that did the whole Goliath thing and knocked down a giant and stuff like that. Now, if you don't think that is myth, I don't know what could possibly be myth to you. I guess everything is real. I guess Hercules is real, and Gilgamesh, and you know, Horus, and chopping up Osiris, and, you know, even though he's chopped up, he got his wife pregnant, his wife's sister, even though he was already dead. You know, Zeus going in the ocean, getting his wife pregnant just by having a money shot in the ocean. I think his pecker. What, did he get castrated and then his pecker was in the ocean and got people pregnant from just being a John Bobbitt in the ocean here? I think that's what happened. Hey, anyway, listen, it's been a slice of heaven, as they say, and how boring can that be? But I hear that the streets are gold, which is really good because gold's going up, you know. Cash, the dollar, not doing so well in heaven. Gold, that's your investment right there. Thank you so very much for joining me for this long-winded episode of A Wiggly World. I don't know when I'm going to be able to get on again, but I love getting on here. I'd rather try to spend that spare time I might have doing music, actually trying to create some music, things that I love to do, maybe even some artwork, trying to get my house in place. Once I get the house more organized, I should be able to have a lot more time to channel towards, you know, creating all forms of media, including the show. Maybe even get on a regular schedule at some time in the future. I don't know. That would be really neat. Then they wouldn't go on for 3 hours plus or whatever. So thank you so very much for being a part of the show. I appreciate it. I couldn't be here without you. Stop by for the open house if you're around, or make a special trip. But you can't stay here. You got to go home after the 5, or you can stay a little while longer, I'm sure, if you drove a long way. But the bed is already spoken for, unfortunately, and we only have one spare room. And you can't sleep on a couch because it's a love, you'll see it. It's a love seat that you have to be a baby to lay down on that couch, because it is sort of like a Victorian love seat, which you can barely, you know, Chiz and I sit on it. I have to hug her. That's why it's a love seat. Thanks, everybody. I really appreciate it. Oh, music. I forgot about music. You know, I'm kind of torn. I want to replay my C-Rex song, but actually, it still needs work, and I found out that they didn't use that C-Rex anyway. Hey, you know, Mike has got a lot on his plate. I sort of figured that was going to happen anyway. Well, you know, I still think it's a pretty neat song, and I just have to expand upon it. I wanted to play something from GrimMachine.com from Phil Marshalsea. However, you can go there right now. I know I need to help support my fellow We Talk Gamian, the Eternal Jade Walker. So I want to play something off Jade's album, so you can go there and help support him while he goes through some of his troubles. And he definitely needs some hits and some downloads. Whereas Phil, you can get his Education EP for free. So just go to grimmachine.com. I got to write this down so that I put it in the show notes. It's spelled as G-R-I machine. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know how he says it. That's one problem with me. But I know how he says Phil. Phil. There you go. So, and you can download, if you go under Music tab, you can download the Education EP and hear it for yourself in its entirety. From my pal Jaden the Eternal, you can find his album in iTunes. I Give You Infinite Suffering. So thanks, Jaden the Eternal. You can find him at The Eternal. .blogspot.com, I think, or theeternalmusic.com. That's right, theeternalmusic.com. He also has some free songs on there. You could follow his Twitter and his blog, and links to his albums as well. Hey, everybody, thanks a lot for listening. Once again, I'm Wiggly, a Wiggly World.